creating environment that for being of, if let us say, great trees, to create feeling of beauty by thankful sunlight through branches, or necessary to being for drying so that seeds can germinate through great intense fire, but not so intense as to destroy all. Part of problem that I perceive is that by interfering with natural cycle, fire becomes far more catastrophic than little natural fires that burn through, creating necessary nutrients for soil, and in some cases being for germination of seeds. So solar energy being for used in many different ways, and beavers help and use such energy by manipulating branches and fauna and flora for purpose to maximize effect of solar energy. So you are correct in asking of question.
Now, is energy strictly energy, like a generic kind of energy? Are there different kinds of energy? Like, is human energy more creative than solar energy?
There are many different kinds of energy, but define energy.
Like water power.
Okay, we have electrical energy.
Then you have your soul, physical energy. You have your healing power.
Mm-hmm.
You have your solar energy.
Define difference on each, please.
There's no way to define it other than it's a force.
Please define.
Isn't it electrically charged particles that is the difference between, but it's more electric electrons for energy than there would be without?
Isn't energy power?
Yeah. But it's also, you have energy. I have energy.
A rock has energy.
A rock has energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the creation of atoms in different forms.
Correct. It is all the same, but depending on source of storage, depends on what type of energy. Spiritual energy is just the same as electric energy, except for being stored in different ways.
So how is it generated?
Stronger. Correct. Stronger as well.
Yeah, but how is it generated?
It is
how do you generate spiritual energy?
You have it or you don't.
Wait a minute.
If you have it, you work with it.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is formed by positive and negative electrons. Everything is formed by everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no energy, you don't exist.
Correct.
So you are a form of energy. It isn't produced. You are a form of energy. There's no production here. You're a form of energy. That's a form of energy. This is a form of energy. He's a form of energy. The wall's a form of energy. It's not produced. It exists.
The air is a form of energy.
It exists from positive and negative electrons. Atomic. How do you explain
that? So energy isn't created.
It's.
Energy just exists.
It's not produced. It's not manufactured. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not manufactured. It exists.
Alright. I am thinking it being better to take up with someone that knows more of what Skip is talking about.
I'm sorry.
That is okay. Okay, I am of departing.
Fragmentary.
Yeah. Brought up some interesting points.
Remember what?
Oh, yeah, right.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey.
Remember what we said? Remember what we said about healing? You do not heal the person. You're a jump starter for their own energy.
Just like a car.
I'm sorry, darling. We got into a discussion here.
I know. I was listening with great interest. Okay. Energy. All matter is energy. Energy is stored in all matter. If you were to condense all the matter in your universe into one area, let us say the size of your planet, the energy would generate so much intense heat that an explosion would release that energy and put it into motion. Energy cannot be destroyed. Matter can be destroyed. If you use a simple E equals MC equation, all matter in the universe will not even help you to transform to the speed of light. In doing so, it is very clear that another mode of transport is used to reach and go beyond the supposed light barrier. But it is also a misnomer to say that you can't create energy. Energy already exists. That is true. But you can create energy. Or rather, you can take it from a source that isn't in your universe and put it into your universe. Now, here we get really heavy. As a star collapses upon itself and compresses down and keeps compressing down and compressing down, sucking surrounding matter in, it gives off that energy in radioactive amounts that are detected, hence the reason why black holes are detectable. As the black hole sucks in more matter, the gravitational pull, funny thing happens to the gravitational pull, it becomes less. The more dense gravitationally dense the hole becomes, the denser and less strength the gravitational pull is. Can anybody tell me why?
I don't understand.
What she's saying is the deeper or further the star condenses and pulls in matter from outer space, creating a black hole, the less the gravitational field is within that black hole. Outside of it, it's atrocious, but in the hole itself, there's nothing.
No, what's happening is the gravitational mass becomes so dense, the actual gravitational pull into the black hole becomes less.
Oh, I got it backwards.
Yeah, it doesn't disappear altogether, but it becomes less as it gets bigger. Why?
It's condensing down, getting ready to explode.
And that happens much, much later.
Well, what happened? Isn't there a point of no return?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right.
Well, that means if what you're saying is true, which goes against everything I ever thought it would happen, then you can actually enter a black hole.
Yeah, but once you cross over the event horizon, you can't get out. Gravitational pull will not let you out.
But it's left.
It is still stronger than you can produce.
But it's less than it was when it started.
Much less. It is not so much of what happens. It is why.
And as it keeps compressing, it's compressing energy. Mm-hmm. And fantastic amount of energy.
You cannot destroy energy.
So what's going to happen when you keep compressing it down?
It's going to burst.
It has to reverse.
But that's not the reason why the gravitational pull becomes less. I want you guys to work out why the gravitational pull becomes less.
Well, you said last time we talked that gravity is caused by rotation.
Mm-hmm. There'd be no
so
rotation.
If there's no rotation, there's no gravity. Or there's less gravity, depending on how much rotation there is.
Can we find a spherical object for a second, please?
A what?
Spherical one?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about
spherical. Oh, a ball.
Or a cylindrical object.
Here's orange. Does that help?
That helps. Perfect. Okay.
Orange.
Put it on the center there. Okay. You see what happens?
Yeah.
Let me do it. Can't trust memories. Okay, one orange. This is your nuclei for your imploding stuff. Okay, this here, and it's good that it's visible, is a black hole. Let's get it moving. Okay, as it gets more and more dense and more stuff is pushed in, my hand is acting as a force pushing in. What's happening to the hole?
Getting deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Getting deeper.
So
you're losing.
Thank you.
So you're losing your gravity.
That doesn't make sense, though. Isn't it like a whirlpool that as you go deeper, it goes faster?
No.
Probably the deeper you go, the slower it would get.
In a whirlpool? No, I've done things with pennies where it's going down.
As you go, a whirlpool.
It spins faster.
Wait a minute. A whirlpool pulls from out to the edge of it. As you go down through the center of it, you hit nothing. It doesn't whirl anymore down there. It just sucks down.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is happening is as the black hole gets deeper, the fabric of the space around it is bent. And as it bends down, right, of course, all matter gets sucked in. And as more matter gets sucked in, the deeper it pushes in, which means that it becomes less of a pull because it is getting longer and longer. Now, when you reach the event horizon, you can actually cross over the lip of the black hole, a massive black hole. You can cross over the lip into it, and you can go down. But as soon as you reach the event horizon, it's got you. There is no escape. That's it. It's over. Now. Sorry.
Like a Venus flytrap?
Is it like a Venus flytrap?
Yes, exactly. Like a Venus flytrap. It's got you.
There was a way to break out of the point you've been written, right?
Of course.
What word is that?
Event horizon is that instant. Just where you can go either way. You can get out, or you can go in. But as soon as you pass the event horizon, that split second, and it is a split second, a millionth of a second.
Where do you go? What's your event horizon?
You accelerate and accelerate beyond the speed of light. But when you approach the speed of light, you are traveling so fast that time no longer matters. Time stands still. So you would not be aware that you had gone over the event horizon because the acceleration is so phenomenally fast. Time would stand still and you would cease to exist. And you would be returned to the universe as radiation energy. Now, somebody mentioned critical mass.
Critical mass.
And what happens with critical mass?
It explodes.
Mm-hmm. Somebody actually had an answer to my next question without realizing it. Okay, my next question is, what happens when the amount of energy is equal to the amount that is left outside of the black hole?
It exploded.
Now, who said that originally?
Einstein.
Now, who's in this room?
Oh. Or
well, that room down there.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Skip it.
Mm-mm.
Chained it.
Somebody answer the next question by thinking ahead. What would have happened? What happens when you reach critical mass of a black hole when it has the equal amount of energy inside and outside? Now, when that happens, this is where it gets very interesting. As a black hole explodes, it has sucked in so much matter that it cannot hold any more. Obviously, otherwise it will not explode. When that happens, something wonderful occurs. Something fantastic.
Energy creation?
Mm-hmm.
New life?
Much more beautiful than new life. The new life comes from it. Okay. When a black hole explodes, and can only explode when it reaches that critical mass, and that can only happen when what?
Can't hold anymore.
True, but there is one reason why it can't hold anymore.
It's gotten too deep.
No, its energy has built to the point that it can't hold anymore. It can't compress anymore. It has to explode.
Give you a clue. It involves other black holes too.
Would it create a new galaxy?
Getting close.
It works.
But no, there's only one way that it can occur. Here's your black hole. Here's another one.
To go into another black hole or form a black hole between them. One sucked the other one.
Sucked it in. Here's a star. Here's another star. Here's a galaxy. Here's another galaxy. Here's another black hole that's been doing the same thing. Okay, oh, they're the last two left.
Big bang.
That's it. It's not a big crunch. It's not a big crunch at the end. Because everything has already been compressed prior to that point. Two black holes meet. They've got extreme equal amounts of mass. One tries to suck into the other one. The other one tries to suck the other one in. They fight. What happens from that fight? Pretty close, but they have equal amounts of matter and energy stored within them.
They would cancel each other out.
And?
Collapse
into each other. In turn, what happens when you have two negatives?
They blow each other away.
That's right. They blow each other to pieces. And in doing so, you get
the Big Bang.
That's correct.
That implies multiple Big Bangs, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what makes you think that they're not happening now? They're just too far away for us to realize that they're happening. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, what we're watching now through telescopes and photographs, this happened a million years ago.
Well, I've got that new X-ray telescope it just launched.
But that's still
designed to see black holes.
Yeah. Right. We'll be able to see black holes. But what we're still looking at is our past.
Anything is from the past. Shane, the image that you are seeing of the host body right now is in the past. Pretty straightforward concept, huh? Okay, what is it?
Tomorrow is only today, but today is only yesterday.
Okay, bring that to the now. Light traveling from the body of the host that you see reaches your eye. It's got to travel. It may be a billionth of a second, but it's still in the past. Maybe 10 billion billionths of a second, but it's still in the past. Every image you see is in the past, even if it is only a imperceptible past, it's in the past.
What we're seeing in the skies are millions and millions of years ago. Okay.
I'm taking up too much time.
Yeah, and we're running into this pretty deep conversation.
Greetings, Tahoe.
Greetings, Russ. Greetings, Skip.
This is Vicky.
Greetings, Vicky.
This is Tahoe.
I am one of the pilots that patrolled so that you may sleep as safely as possible from other groups that wish to make you visit them without consent. I am here briefly for saying that you have pen and scribe handy.
There you go.
Even though I only know, as you call him, Baron, as a instructor and visiting officer on assignment to us, it is of great sorrow that we lose one of the finest persons that has been my honor to have ever No, it is part of life that we all say goodbye. It is not that we are of saying goodbye, nor is it of how we say goodbye, but it is of how we say hello and what we do for those that we hold around us. As you call him, Baron, to me, he was one of those people that when he was on duty, saw everything. Mistakes that I made that in other situations could have cost me my life, he would inform me of alone, saying that if I did that in a touch situation, I would have died, and pointing out these mistakes guaranteed that I live. Even though to us, death is a period of waiting and happy release, it is hard to think of a friend that we won't see until we are with them in waiting. But it is not for sadness, but for joy that I say to your friend and mine, see you in a while.
Thank you. Very excellent.
I will answer question if necessary, but remember, it is always a smile to live, and the end happens to us all. Right. Any questions?
No. Not really. He went like he wanted to go.
No, he did not.
Oh, that's true.
Went in.
No.
Baron died.
Okay, no questions. I must depart as I have duties I need to be of seeing to.
Thank you. I'll give her love to Katrina.
I will.
Thank you.
It is not for tears. He is happy. Okay. Everybody up, down, playing around, doing the loop and defying the ground. Okay.
Hi, Cara.
Hello.
Cara?
Yes.
Cara. Okay.
Yes.
Cara, this is my lady friend, Vicky. This is Cara.
Hi, Cara.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I see you have a bit of a respiratory problem. I notice a tone of cynicism. Okay. I will explain if nobody else has explained themselves, but I will explain as the mole is the only one. So, primarily and happily, I am a healer. Sadly, I have been assigned the detail of representing Sirius on Hades' base to the air. So therefore, I don't get as much healing practice as I would like. I'll answer questions. We shall continue. Any questions?
I don't think so. How you doing, love?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
What's the latest scoop?
Which one?
Anything fun and exciting going on right now?
Not that you want to hear about. Not that you want to hear. You want to hear excuses?
No.
Reasons.
Reasons? Reasons for excuses?
No. Excuses just like opinions.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen plenty just recently.
Well, mm-hmm.
Very fun. You have to excuse me being a little cynical. As you know, there's a lot going on in up here and other things. No rest for the wicked. I guess that makes me downright evil. In fact, it must make me considerably evil.
No,
not really. Mm-hmm. As the host is fond of saying, my cloven feet are killing me. Oh, my horns hurt. And my tail. And eventually I will change my name to something like Mephistopheles or Lucifer. Okay, here's a question. Russ, you are exempt from answering this question. Anybody can tell me what Lucifer means?
Lucifer?
Mm-hmm.
The devil.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a lost angel or something?
Lucifer means light bringer.
Means what?
Light bringer.
Light bringer? The devil's called that?
That's his name.
Why?
That's what he was known as.
Lucifer?
Mm-hmm. When he was an angel in your mythology, he sat on the right hand side
of God
and got a little egotistical.
No, a whole bunch of egotistical.
But he wanted to be better.
Mm-hmm.
More or less. He thought he could get in competition with the old man. That balances everything.
Mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other. You've got to have one. This goes back to Curie's equations on energy.
How would you know good if there was no evil?
That's right.
Just if there's no evil, you can't learn.
If you laugh all the time, how do you cry?
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
And if you laugh all the time, actually, can somebody tell me, can laughing kill you?
Yes. Sure can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can laughing be a disease?
Yes.
Can somebody tell me what the name of that disease is?
No, I can't tell you.
Okay, what causes that disease?
I'm sorry.
What causes the disease?
Lack of gas? Lack of oxygen?
No.
Well, we laugh too much.
Because you can be sad and be loud.
Yeah.
This is a ailment. This is a disease. And originally it was primarily one tribe that suffered from this disease. Mm-hmm. From New Guinea. And they have a, not a unique, but a interesting eating habit.
The Inca tribe?
No.
They were from New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
They had an unusual eating habit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Cannibalism.
Now they eat one, and they can only, this disease comes from only one part of the human body. That's right. And not all people carry the disease.
All of them do?
No, not everybody does. In fact, very, very few do. Otherwise, this tribe would have been extinct a long time ago. And it's called, its local name is laughing sickness. And you laugh yourself to death. The scientific name from your planet is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And basically what happens is the brain turns into a huge sponge-like substance. And you go like, crazy and die.
Like you were like a baby? Because
you were doing anything? No. I mean like a real sponge. Not soaking up knowledge, but like a real sponge. It gets full of holes and all sorts of things.
Well, okay. Then it's very rare.
It is very rare. But it has a more common name at the moment.
Okay.
Mad kale disease. Okay, let's continue. Let's talk about something cheerful and entertaining. Let's get all of our minds on something cheerful. I know I can. Do with it. Okay.
Of
course, you could tell me how to build a warp.
I wish I could. I don't know how to. I can tell you how to set a leg. I can tell you how to play a settle too. But as for setting a warp core engine, I haven't got the foggiest.
This has been a joke between this young lady and me for quite a while.
Wrong young lady.
Oops.
You were talking about my little sister.
Yes, I
am. Yes. The mischievous one that gave you a lecture on quantum physics. And I know we do sound alike sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when we've both got things on our minds.
Yeah.
Okay. I will hop off and hand you back to... the engineer with the twisted sense of humor. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah. How much time do we have left? About 5 minutes?
Maybe. Just about enough time to tell me how to build a workbook.
Yep, about 5 minutes.
That wouldn't be enough. If I just started off with the equation, that would have you so mind-boggled. And the explanation would take so long.
I'm just teasing you.
I know. And you know what happens when you tease?
Make a joke. That's it.
Okay. Now, where were we on black holes? We're talking about black holes, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody had any good jokes? You haven't skipped?
No.
So how do you find America, Russ? Shane, how do you find America?
How do you find it?
Well, I'd turn left at Greenland. But now we're talking, so I might as well make a comment towards everybody.
We have a lot of problems here.
Mm-hmm.
Probably still one of the best countries in the world.
And I'd say it's from what I've seen, what I've read, and I really would like to come down there. It does seem like a nice place. It seems like You've got everything there. You could travel within your country without showing one of your certificates to travel between countries.
No, we had to have your ID.
Uh-huh. But you could, you can go from rugged coastline to hardline beaches. You can go from high mountains to low meadows. You can go from bitter cold and skiing in the winter to sunning yourself on the beaches of Florida. All in one day, I should imagine.
Florida is where you guys were out to.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the deepest spot in the world that's on dry land.
Mm-hmm. Can't go to the highest, but you can go to something like the 10th or 7th of the highest. Okay. I know something you guys don't.
What's that?
Well, a lot.
What's... Yeah, I know. That's besides the point. I know something about your country that you guys don't.
What's that?
Okay, what's the highest spot in the United States of America?
It's underwater, isn't it?
The highest spot can be underwater? Come on.
Actually, Shane's not that far from the truth, but that doesn't really count. The highest mountain in the United States.
What is it?
No. The way that Shane's looking at it, and he's correct, but that's not what I'm after. But
towards the... Alaska or Russia?
He's getting close. He's getting close to the highest one above sea level.
Well, that'd be Mount McKinley.
The highest mountain is in the water, isn't it?
Russ had it. Russ said it.
Yeah, Mount McKinley in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. But the actual highest mountain from the ground to its peak, Shane's right.
It's in the water.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where it is?
No, I don't
Atlantic
remember.
Ocean, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
I told him, but I don't know that.
Oh, Hawaiian Islands.
That's right.
Yeah,
actually,
Hawaiian Islands.
It's actually even taller than the Everest if you were to go from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, Hawaiian Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And they're volcanically built.
That's correct. So Shane is right. Again, he answered one question and was ahead on another question. He's doing good today. And you know it's the truth, Shane. You want to know why I know it's the truth? Because I'm the hippest chick in my class. I'm so cool. I don't have to think. I'm also the smartest in my class. I'm also the award of 2 years in a row for the top coercer.
Coercer.
It means I can control people by my mind if I wish. And oh, got a message from my mom. It's nice and cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Quite nice.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Took him a while, but I think he did it. Okay, anyway. Shane, I know where you're coming from. Just remember that. Because I do the same thing. Don't I, dude? Mm-hmm. I'm the tits. I'm the party animal.
Mm-hmm.
You've all seen me, except for Vicky, of course. All see me goof around, be silly, get up, wander off, and cause trouble.
And throw your clothes around.
Mm-hmm. But I can boast about my IQ because I'm very comfortable with it, and everybody knows that I may be silly, I may be goofy, I may be a flake, but I'm smart too. And the thing is, the most important thing about being smart is accepting it yourself. So, you want to be a flake. So, you don't want to be bothered with people expecting things from you because you are smart. Put on the act. Put it on well. But remember, it's an act. It's not a way of life. Be intelligent and to succeed. You can be as goofy as you want. You can be as eccentric as you want. You can be a flake. But as long as you keep that spark that you are smart, that you are capable of doing whatever you turn your mind to, then you're not playing the game that they want you to play. And they know that you are a flake, but you're not. Remember that. Read all the books that you can. Be as smart as you can. Continue to be the flake. Continue to be the punk. Continue to be the party animal. Continue to have fun. But also continue to be smart. Don't become dumb. Because if you become dumb.
If you already are smart, you can't be dumb.
Mm-hmm. Don't be smart. And you've proved it twice tonight that you are smart. But what I'm saying is, keep it up. And I expect a joke from you. And I expect goofy comments from you. And I expect you to be wild. You want to know why? Because I'm wilder. And I don't care what people think. Okay, any questions?